This is an interview for the George J. Mitchell Oral History Project at Bowdoin College. The date is September 3rd, 2009, and I'm at the home of Leonard Mulligan in Bath, Maine, and this is Andrea Lumsier. Mr. Mulligan, could you start just by spelling your last name for me?
Spell my last name, Mulligan.
And middle initial is C?
C.
And what does that stand for?
Charles.
And where and when were you born?
I was born in North Andover, Massachusetts in 1932.
And did you grow up in that area?
No, I moved to Maine when I was about 7 years old, to Brunswick, Maine, where I stayed until I finished college at Bowdoin. Then I went into the Army, and from there I came back and started graduate school in Springfield, Mass. Worked there a couple of years at Mass Mutual, and came back here to Bath, Maine.
So, growing up, well, first of all, tell me about your parents a little bit. What were their names? Your parents' names?
My parents' names. My mother died when I was 3 years old. Her name was Ruth. My father's name was Leonard Joseph Mulligan.
And what did your dad do for work?
My father worked at Bath Iron Works from the time he came here until the time that he retired.
And talk about growing up in the Brunswick area. This was in the 40s and 50s?
Yes, I think I came to Brunswick probably in 1939 when I was about 7 years old. I went to school in Brunswick, grew up there. It was a very interesting time. I was too young to go into World War II, but I went to Brunswick High School and graduated in 1950. And from there I moved down the street. I was a townie. And I moved into Bowdoin College, which I graduated in 1954.
What was Bowdoin like at that time?
Bowdoin was a different school. Probably I would never even be able to look at Bowdoin now because it's so different. But it was, it's hard to believe that I went to Bowdoin on a scholarship, as well as working my way through getting opportunities to work at the school. But it was like $4,200 a year, which is now $42,000 a year.
Yeah. And talk to me about sort of the professors you had.
My fondest professor was a guy by the name of Nate Dane, who taught Latin. I had a choice when I was a freshman. I thought I was very smart, which I really wasn't. But I went into math, and I lasted approximately 6 weeks and had an average of about 20. So I was given a choice. I either left school or I took Latin. So I became a very good friend of Nate Dane.
And did you have him for more than 1 year?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I ended up with a minor in Latin, and I enjoyed it very, very much.
And what was your major?
My major is economics. Probably the professor that I would remember most there was a man by the name of Cushing, whose house is now a bed and breakfast on the Brunswick Mall.
So do you recall George Mitchell when you were at Bowdoin?
Yes, but I was not close to George at that time. But, you know, we followed basketball games, all of us did, and he played basketball, so watch them there, but at that point in time, he was just one of us.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do for social activities on the weekends and things like that?
Oh, we had parties that probably wouldn't exist now. my wife I met when I was a sophomore, so we connected. She graduated from Smith College, and we would alternate weekends. We'd go down there and raise hell, or she'd come up here and stay at what was then called the Hotel Eagle. She was from Bath, and her father used to call her occasionally and say, I'm spending all this money for you to be educated in Northampton, and you're spending all your time in Brunswick. So that was about that the summation of my memories.
And did you get to know Senator Mitchell later on?
Yes.
Tell me about what you did for a career. Where did you go after Bowdoin and graduate school, and sort of how did you reconnect with him later on?
Well, I came back to Bath, took over a family company, and part of my diversion was to get into housing development. And several projects I had, and one of them George got involved in. This is back in the 70s, which is my story, actually, for you to carry on with. The project is really across the street. And this house was owned by me then in a different world. It was called Sherrod Corporation. Well, as my story unfolds, and it's a true story, we were dealing with a bank in Boston called New England Merchants, which is no longer in existence. And George became counsel to that bank with a law firm in Portland by the name of Jensen and Beard. And I re-met with George during that time because we had kind of secured some of the loan for the housing project with different agreements. And I'll never forget, we're sitting around a table in Portland, and George was then kind of between careers, I would say. He wasn't a senator then. He had come back to Maine to decide I would trust to say what to do. He was very close to Senator Muskie. And he became, during that time frame also, after my gig with him, he became a senator, thanks to Joe Brennan. George is sitting on the other side of the table, smiling at us, and he had a great smile. And he moved a piece of paper across the table, and my signature's on the agreement, and my partner's signature was on the agreement. I'll never forget this. George looked at me and said, Red, he said, do you recognize your signature? And I said, yes, I think I do, George. And he turns to my partner, and this is crazy. He looked at him and he said, I'll use a name that's not his name. John, do you recognize your signature? And he looked at the paper. He looked up at George. And he said, I'm not sure, George, that I might sign that paper or not. There's quite a bit of money involved. And George looked at him and smiled and said, well, do you think you might recognize your signature? And John said, yeah, I think I could probably recognize my signature. And he said to him, he said, well, John, do you mind signing your name again to this paper just so I can give some authenticity to it? And my partner said, yeah, I think I can do that. And he signed his name again. And George, the big smile, said, now, would you say that they're the same signature? And my partner says, you know, George, I think you might be right. I think they're the same. And that's my story. That was in the 70s.
Yeah. And so that was probably between the time he ran for governor and the time he became senator, between 74 and 80?
Yes. Okay. And that would be... I think Joe Brennan was governor then, and Brennan appointed George to replace Muskie, who became Secretary of State.
Right.
So that was the way it flowed. And that's my remembrance of George, and this is all before all the stuff that he's done happened. And I was also blessed. My daughter became an intern in his office. And his personal secretary was a very, very dear friend of mine.
Gail
Fitzgerald Corey.
Can you talk about her? Because we can't interview her, and she's such an important part of both the Muskie and Mitchell legacy. What was she like?
She was a crackerjack. I met Gail when she was Gail Fitzgerald. And she was first Senator Muskie's personal secretary. And she really ran the ship. And then when George came on board, she flipped over because Muskie went up, and she traveled with Muskie a bit, I believe. But she became George's personal secretary. I used to communicate with her when she worked for George. Gail was interesting, and a sub-story to this that might fit in. Back, I would say, in the 60s, yeah, would be the 60s, I guess, I was putting together a group to buy Hyde School. We had Senator Muskie on that board, and Gail was the point person for Ed Muskie to work with us. And we were trying to buy the school. And I'll never forget, Gail called and said, can you guys come to Washington? Guys being a couple of buddies and I, and we were trying to buy the thing with no money because we didn't have any money. And we showed up, and she says, no, you guys hang around today because the senator's playing golf with the Secretary of Health and Welfare or something. I guess his name, I can remember his name being Stewart. And Gail had worked the system so that by the end of the day, we had purchased Hyde School.
And so, wow, that's amazing.
It's a beautiful story because we didn't have a clue what was going on. We spent the day rumbling around Washington, three maniacs, and didn't have a clue what we were doing. We're looking at the big buildings and very impressed. And none of us had money. I did have a check. And with that check, we bought what was called the Hill Burton Funds, which was Hyde School. And that's my sacker.
Yeah. And did you buy it and keep it Hyde School, or did you make it into some... I mean, it's Hyde School now, right?
That is Hyde School.
And did it have the same function then?
Yeah. On this desk, I used to live in a house on Washington Street. On this desk, you'll see scratches. The guy that became the headmaster, Joe Gall, had no place to go. So he used to come to my house and make phone calls. He was a great developer, and, you know, he fundamentally was the key person. But he'd write down a sketch, and my wife would give me hell because we'd get a phone bill, and it would be like $600, and I would say, you know, where did it come from? She says, you've got to talk to Joe. He's talking too much. But he's, you know, he did a great job, and Hyde School was what it is today. Senator Muskie was on that board, and Gail was the point person behind it that coordinated the key buy.
Do you have any idea how she did it?
How she did it?
Yeah.
Well, we had put together some crazy numbers that would in today's world, you'd go to jail if it's found out. But we were able to prove that the value of what we were buying had decreased so much, which was funny money.
Right.
We bought the wing, which tied up the whole school, for less than $13,000. I signed a check on one of my companies, and the company had no money. I had to rush back and cover it. So, you know, it all came together. But she coordinated the golf match with the Secretary of Health and Welfare.
Right.
She had a gal by the name of the gal, I'll never forget her. She had retired from the Army. Her name was, I want to say, Pope.
Martha Pope?
P-O-P-E?
Yeah.
Yeah, from down south someplace.
Yeah.
She she had organized with Gail the day. It was just, you know, we were down, we were there in the morning, and I'll never forget that Stuart said, "You guys get the hell out of town," he said, "before someone changes their mind."
Yeah.
but you know, it was Gail that obviously did the background stuff.
Right.
And it was quite an achievement.
And you knew her from here, from Bath.
I'm here.
Yes. And so did you know her before she went to work?
No.
For Senator Muskie, you knew her later.
Her brother was a very dear friend of mine.
Buzz Fister. And, yeah.
In fact, we're neighbors, and we used to travel together and do all that kind of stuff. And through Buzzy, I got to know Gail quite well.
Yeah, a nice family.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah,
and we're good buddies.
Yeah. Gail was amazing. There's so many stories about the amazing things she did, and we tried to figure out how she came to have all these incredible skills.
Well, she had, you know, it's a surprising power that they have. I'll never forget, I had lunch with Gail. When my housing project, I would go to Washington occasionally. I don't know why, but I would admit. We'd go for lunch. And there was a place called Delmonico Club or something, some restaurant that was around the house from where his office was. Mm-hmm. And she would walk in, and it was like the Empress arriving. They would all get up and say hello to her. And I'm sure a lot of it had to do with her connection as being personal secretary to Senator Muskie. There had to be. But I was over my head with that stuff. Because I was just a guy from Maine,
yeah.
You know. But she was very down to earth, and I'll never forget. I was raising money for Bowdoin, and George was on my list, and Gail picks up the phone. Says, "I'll take care of it, Red. Don't worry. I have no idea what ever happened because how it evolved is." I think the president at that time was Roy Greeson, and he asked me as a classmate of George's, would I call George? Well, I never spoke to George because Gail took over.
Yeah.
She ran the show.
Yeah. And you referred to yourself as Red?
Is that Red.
A nickname?
Yes.
How did you get the nickname?
Because my hair was absolutely carrot top.
Yeah.
It was really, really red. My three children... Two of them had red hair. My youngest one, who's, gosh, now 42, I believe, still has red hair. And occasionally she'll look at her hair and look for a piece of white hair and pull it out. She doesn't want to admit.
Yeah.
But I also will say this. It was very nice because when Annie interned, I believe it was in her junior year of college, when she interned, George made it sure that they had a place of some secure house to go to. He found a home for them while the kids interned there, which is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
It was just outside the Beltway, someplace. I could get lost looking. But Andy used to talk, you know, at least as parents, we felt secure in knowing that she was going to be okay.
Right.
So, you know, that's a big thing. Washington.
Yeah. Was it a summer internship?
Yes.
Did she take away memories from that she shared with you?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I have a flag that she brought back that flew over the Capitol, and I have one of those things that appreciation to Red Mulligan from George Mitchell.
Right.
I still have it.
Oh, neat.
I had the flag stolen twice, but that's okay. Annie would give me another flag.
So, you've had a few interactions with George Mitchell over the years, but you probably observed him as well in terms of, you know, what's your observation of George Mitchell from the time you knew him in college till now?
Well, I think, you know, as I mentioned to you, my highlight was my little encounter, and you know, getting to really being more in tune with Gail's position with George. I followed his success, but really never really reconnected personally. Mm-hmm. So I really couldn't go on telling you all the stories that I were not part of, because right. That would not be fair.
Right. And Buzz Fitzgerald had a relationship with Ed Muskie, didn't he?
Buzz?
Yeah, weren't they?
If he did, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Ed Muskie was on our... I put Ed Muskie on the high school board because we wanted that connection. But, you know, I think if Buzz's relationships with Senator Muskie, it would be beyond my knowledge. It was primarily Gail. You know, Buzz and Gail were very close.
Right.
So, I mean, that would tie Buzzy into the senator.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think is important to add?
Not really. I after your call, I was trying to think of what I would consider being a highlight of my relationship with him, and that would be of a personal nature. You know, I tracked him and followed him and supported him, but it would be like everyone else did.
Right.
So that would not be unique.
Have you ever been politically involved, or just on a...
Probably behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I never ran for any office. I served in a lot of different positions over the years, but most of them were by my choice.
Right.
I support a lot of guys that were politicians, but not me.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.